Before we begin, let's go into a quick word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the message we just heard in that hymn, Be Still My Soul. Father, we pray, Father, that we will be still now in the presence of a holy God. That you will speak through me, your weak vessel. May the words that come from my lips be directly from your throne of grace. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this morning, I know you'll see in your bulletin that the sermon title is, Where is Our Help? Where is our help? And at a quick glance or a quick understanding, our help is in Jesus. And that is always where our help is, in Jesus. I'd like to give you a little picture this morning. And basically it's taken from the book of Psalm 124. We'll go into that a little deeper as we go along. I just want to give you a little bit of a background, maybe my thoughts or what I'm imagining, what's actually happening in this particular psalm. So I'll read it the psalm in a minute, but let me go through this first. I can picture a processional party of pilgrims passing through the countryside. From all different walks of life they come. Some are common shepherds who have toiled all year round under the brisk, hot sun and sometimes under bleak blanket of night air, tending disobedient sheep. And others were farmers who had plowed and planted the hard, harsh ground that was stubborn to yield food throughout that year. Some were merchants who had traveled all over, buying, bartering, bargaining to bring home bounty to put bread on the family table. From different homes and different circumstances, from different economic and social levels and backgrounds, from different sizes of houses and types of transportation, from different educational and professional achievements, from east, west, north, and south, tall, short, young, and old, they came for one common purpose. And what was that purpose? To worship in Jerusalem. It was a pilgrimage. So this morning, as we look at the book of Psalms, specifically Psalm 124, I invite you to turn there in your Bibles, Psalm 124, and that's where our focus mainly will be this morning, Psalm 124. And you'll see that as we go through some of these verses, that there's a focus that you might wonder, well, why are they actually focusing on this aspect, which I'm going to get into. The Bible labels this as a song of degrees in some versions, or a song of ascent in the Psalm 124. It's a part of a group of psalms, 122, Psalm 134, that was sung by the Israelites as they journeyed to the special annual feast. Now, can you imagine opening the Word of God as we have it, and you have the psalms in front of you, but they actually sang what we read, some of these psalms, not all of them, but some of them. That, to me, must have been actually something to behold. Because what they were singing was life, was their life, was how they experienced God in that deep way. So, in my imagination, I see them packing up everything and beginning the long walk up to Jerusalem from wherever they are, from wherever their homes were. And when the load was heavy and the road was stony, someone will begin to sing this particular psalm in Psalm 121, 1 and 2. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So they might be singing this along the way. And the sun will be maybe blazing down on them, and the ground was burning beneath their feet. I could hear a voice saying, The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. That's taken from Psalm 121, 5 and 6. How about when they're in the hot sun for a long period of time? Do you think there's going to be some murmuring, complaining going on? Could be. Psalm 133, 1 says, Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. The psalms would carry them on their way as they journeyed to Jerusalem. But in the midst of the singing, I can hear someone, without fail, this happens, open up and begin singing this. And now we get into Psalm 124, verses 1 to 5. So let's open our Bibles and read that. Psalm 124, verses 1 to 5. My Bible says, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul." That's pretty deep. That's a pretty deep anguish prayer, you might say. The question I have today is, why in the midst of so much joy and so much gladness as they're going to Jerusalem to meet their God, why, when they were headed up to the temple to worship a holy, loving God, to lift up praise, to magnify his name, why is it when they got the chance to see family and friends who they had not seen for a long time, why is it that they remember all this bad stuff at such a time like this? Why bring back all those bad memories of trials and tribulations and persecutions and even affliction brought on by their own selves for straying from God, right? Why, before such a joyous occasion of worshiping God, would they sing about such hardships and heartaches? Why even go there? Why not just focus on the positive? What's that song years ago? Focus on the positive. I don't know what it is, but there's a song there. It's all about focusing on the positive. And there's a truth to that. We need to focus on the positive. But what about the things we go through? The text does not say that men would rise up against us. Sorry, let me say that again. The text does say that men would rise up against us. The text does say that waters would try to overwhelm us and the raging water would try to wash us away. There's nothing pleasant about enemies attempting to swallow you alive. Nothing good about rushing waters trying to drown you. And there's nothing nice about someone being surrounded by angry enemies on every side. My question then is this: why would they even bother to remember bitter experiences? Let me stop there for a second. Who here in this congregation, or those who may be watching online, who here has suffered a bitter experience? Who here has gone through a bitter experience? Now, I'm not a mind reader, nor would I even claim such a thing, because there is no such thing. But I would say everyone here has experienced some form of a bitter experience, whatever level that is. You know, I can get up here and speak probably for an hour on some of the bitter experiences I've gone through and my family and still going through. I wasn't going to bring this up, but I'll bring it up. My daughter recently, this past week, had a freak accident, and it looks like she's going to lose her eye. That, to me, is a bitter experience. But why would I bring this up as we're celebrating a new year that's about to burst upon us? Let me explain. You know, it's natural for us to memorialize the good things. It really is. All you got to do is look on Facebook. That's a classic place to look for good things. Because let's face reality. I'm not saying everyone, but generally the majority of people who use Facebook, I'm on Facebook too, but what we share on Facebook is usually positive, right? Because we want to present something positive. We don't want to share our negative experiences, right? We don't want to bring people down. But it's just a natural human condition to present forth something positive in our life. You know, we keep photo albums of birthday parties and engagement parties and wedding ceremonies. We have videos of baby dedications and high school graduations and New Year celebrations even. But I have not seen anyone yet say, I need to get a picture of myself when a close friend has betrayed me in some way. Have you ever? Let me get that video camera. I must get a shot of how my family looks when they're hungry. I think I'm going to take the picture of how I look when I lose my job. My wife and I must take a picture together when we are upset with each other. Now that would be a picture, wouldn't it? It just doesn't happen, does it? It doesn't happen. Because we don't want to share those things. Why remember the times when doubt and depression came up against us like a flood when we're ready to drown? Our souls are ready to drown. Why should we remember when we were ostracized and criticized and chastised for no good reason, that we weren't even at fault? Why would you want to sing about the times when the bills were too high and the money was so low? Why remember those times when we felt hopeless and helpless and couldn't care less? Why think about the times when we were used, abused, and confused? And I say that sort of tongue-in-cheek, but you get my point. You get my point. We all go through difficulties, trials. And the Bible is full of individuals who faced so many trials and so many tribulations. You see, friends, any recollection of our history that includes only the good things, guess what? It's an incomplete history. That's why we have a Bible that's complete. Because there's things in here that happened to people that weren't so good. There's things in here that people betrayed. There's things in here that, you know, people weren't right. They stole, whatever it was. There's all kinds of characters in the Bible that are ripe with sin. So, if you only remember the times when you had peace in the home and peace on the job and peace at school, you are missing something. If you only remember when money was good and the bills were paid on time and you lived in a nice house, you don't have the full story, do you? If all you remember are the times you felt happy and healthy and holy, then you don't have it all. You see, our text today in Psalm 124 lets us know that every one of us in here, every one of us watching, every one of us in here will go through some trouble sometime. It's guaranteed. I'm going through a trial. My family's going through a trial. My daughter's going through a trial. Her family's going through a trial right now. We have another family. My girlfriend's family, Pearl, her family's going through a trial. Families are here are going through a trial. Of a young girl who will pass away soon. It's all kinds of trials. And let's be real about this. 2023 is going to have a lot of trials too. And as we proceed down the corridor of time, there are going to be more and more and more trials. I'm not saying everyone here is going to be submerged in trials all year, but what I am saying is, if you do come upon a trial, don't be surprised. Just do not be surprised. If yours has never come, I invite you to keep on living. Because the longer you live, the more likely you're going to face a trial. But most of us, if not all of us, can testify that even though there were some good times this past year, we have had some rough times also. Some of us know how it feels when the enemies of loneliness and depression rose against us. There were times when no one understood exactly what we're going through. And why don't they understand exactly what we're going through? Because they can't. Because they have not necessarily gone through it themselves. Only God and the pillow that we cried on knew what we were holding on to deep inside. Who here has a pillow that has never been cried on? Maybe someone has been betrayed this year by someone they trusted. They told you that they would have your back, and then you realize that they stabbed you in it. You told them your secrets only to realize later that they were broadcasting it better than CNN. And what better place to do that than on Facebook? Now, I'm not coming down on Facebook, guys. I'm not. I use it myself. But sometimes it's used as a weapon, isn't it? Personal weapons. This year, some of us know how the waters of unemployment can come up against us. You worked hard for that company, but instead of getting a raise that you so deserve, you actually got a pink slip. For someone, the death of a loved one may have been your rushing water, and it certainly was mine. You didn't know how to make it through, and that was my case too. But who do you turn to, and where do you go? I don't know what may have come your way this year. Maybe you have trouble in the home. You know, that child wouldn't act right. That parent just wouldn't understand. Fighting and arguing may have replaced love and affection. Seems like the raging waters are trying to wash you away. I don't know what trouble you may have seen this year. I don't know what burden you had to bear. I don't know what sorrow might have been yours or pain that you had to endure. I don't know how many nights you stayed up counting sheep to fall asleep. I don't know how many times you had to borrow from one credit card to pay another one off. But I know this. That's one thing I do know. That after all the trouble in our world, in our country, and yes, in our neighborhood, in homes and in lives, the reason we are still here today is because the Lord has been on our side. Amen? The Lord is on our side. I'm not asking you to dwell on your troubles, although that's what this sermon seems like, doesn't it? I'm talking a lot about trials and afflictions and desperation and terrible times. I promise you, I won't leave you there. I promise you that. I'm not saying you should drag up the details of every heartache and pain that you faced this past year. But if we forget what we have gone through, we forget that God has been the one to bring us through. Amen? When you look at any trial that you have faced, hasn't God brought you through? Amen? He has. And in ways that you could not possibly imagine. If only we remember the good times, we forget that God has been the God of our weary years and the God of our silent tears. So my point today is, as we look back, is that when things are at their worst, God is at His best. God is at His best. When we come to our Red Sea, everyone here has a Red Sea. We think about the grandeur of Moses and parting the Red Sea and all that. But everyone has a personal Red Sea. I know I have. We find out He can make a highway through any waters that we face. When we get tossed into the fiery furnaces, we realize that He will take the heat for us. God is there with us, for us, not against us. When we lose our jobs, we recognize that He can stretch the food. He can stretch our money. God shows up. When God shows up, He shows off in our trouble. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, sister. You know, over this last year, the times when we see God most are those times when we were down and out and He lifted us up. Those times when we might have been friendless and He stuck closer than a brother. Those times when our heart was broken and He put it back together again. I'm going to stop right there because I have to stop there now. And this wasn't part of the message. There was a time that my heart was broken. It was broken. My wife passed away and my heart was broken. And the hearts of my children were broken in different ways. And there was a time when I felt that was exactly the way my heart was always going to be, broken. But God had other plans. Amen? He had other plans. He brought someone in this church to me. And now I have Pearl in my life. And what can I say? My heart is not broken anymore. I don't forget the past. I know how much I love Stephanie. That never changes. But God heals your heart in ways that we cannot possibly imagine, even in despair. When we didn't know where to turn, God led the way. I thank God today that we can say, blessed be the Lord who has not given us a prey to their teeth. What's that mean? Our enemies who are trying to devour us, crush out our spirits, crush out our lives. Praise God, because they could have devoured us. We could have been left with absolutely nothing. Our very lives could have been taken from us because of the devourer. The devil could have taken all we had. All our hopes, all our dreams could have been totally gone. But God did not give up on us. He was for us. And sometimes we just don't give God the credit that he deserves. He is for us. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we then say to these things? And we know this text. If God be for us, say it with me, who can be against us? As we look at Psalm 124, verse 7 now, we see something very interesting today. It says, and verse 7 says, our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. What's that mean? Follow this picture with me. In this verse, we are all portrayed as a wayward bird that sees some bait and reaches out for it. All of a sudden, we are caught in a trap and we can't get out. I don't know how it has been with you this year, but I must confess that there were times when the devil dangled that delicious fruit called sin in front of my eye. Sometimes, like that bird, I wanted to grab onto that. Maybe you may have strayed away from God somewhere, somehow, and got caught in the trap of that bait layer. Who's the bait layer? Satan. Before you know it, you are stuck in a situation that you can't see any way out of. You know how you feel when you get caught by the enemy. You beat yourself over the head thinking, I should have known better. I did know better. In January, many made a resolution, you know, not to do this, but then in July, there they are gossiping again. And here they are in May, not having any devotion time with God anymore. And here are they watching too much television again. It's consuming them. Could be any resolution for any of us. We've all been caught. Every single one of us. But the text says that someone came and delivered us from the trap of the bait layer. Someone delivered us from that trap, even if it was our own doing. Remember that. Someone came and freed us from the penalty of sin and guilt. I'm glad to tell you today that even though we may have fallen down this year, even though we may have failed this year, even though we may have messed up this year royally, thanks be to God because he didn't leave us in our own rotten mess. Amen? He would not leave us there. He knows who his own is, doesn't he? He knows each and every one of you personally. He knows you, Ron, better than Ron knows yourself, Ron. Right? He knows me way better than me, and I'm so happy for that. I don't say that tongue in cheek. I mean it. I am very happy that he knows me better than me. He came and he delivered us. He broke the shackles of sin. He loosed us from the chains of guilt. He paid our penalty and gave us liberty. What more could we possibly ask for? Freedom. Liberty. And where it's found? Remember, every sermon I have, it's the same title. It's a different subtitle, but it's the same main title. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And my other point, as we close, When we look back over this year, we realize that we have not been perfect. Who here has been perfect? Admit it. I want you to stand up and say you're perfect. I don't mean that. Actually, we could all stand up and say we're perfect if we're covered in Christ's robe of righteousness, right? You can. Because it's Christ's righteousness that perfects you. Amen? But as we look back over this year, we realize that, you know, we haven't been perfect. We've stumbled. But we have a God who never did leave us. He never did forsake us. He didn't give up on us. He didn't throw in the towel on our lives. He is slow to anger somebody and plenteous in mercy. Amen? I'm so glad that he lifted me out of the miry clay of my mistakes. He set me free. He set me free. Free indeed. Tell that old bait layer, the enemy of our souls, the devil, that God set us free by what? By his blood. By his power, we are free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Is that a statement? Is that a question? Is that like some ethereal understanding? No. When whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And as I close, in Psalm 124, verse 8, gives us our resolution for every new year. When you're looking back, never forget to look up. When you're looking forward, never forget to look up. And here's the verse. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. You see, friends, we face the unknown year ahead of us. There's only one thing we should fear. There's only one thing we should fear. And Ellen White brings it out very clearly. And we've heard it before. We have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and is teaching in our past history. Do not forget how the Lord has led you. Take your life. Go home, and when you have some time, reflect upon your walk with God, but also reflect upon how he has led you from a child, right up to this point in time when you are sitting in this congregation right now. And I can guarantee you, your heart will spring up as a floodgates of praise, because you see how God has led you even through all your mistakes, all your pitfalls. I just find it amazing, don't you? I can testify here that when I look back on my past, and my past has been very colored and very checkered, honestly, when I look at my past to that person back there, to this person today, not that I'm perfect, but I guarantee you, there's a huge difference between that person way back there to this person today. And it's only because of God. It's only because of God. Because it's all about Jesus. And he knows what you need. He does. So looking back over our lives, we should never believe that our help came from our bank account. If you start believing your help comes from your bank account, you are on the wrong path, brother. You're on the wrong path, sister. Our help didn't come from where we live or what we drive. Our help didn't come from the schools we went to. Our help didn't come from the Liberal, the Conservative, NDP, or whatever party. It did not. Our help didn't come from the bottle or some pills. Our help didn't come from any man or woman. Now, God works through men and women. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. Our help didn't come from who or what we know. No, our help came from the Lord as he works in our lives through whatever means he chooses. And he can use any method, any means, any way to get to your heart. Whatever that is. We made it this year because he took us through our troubles. We made it this year because when the going got tough, guess what's that expression? When the going get tough, the tough get going, something like that? No, that's not right. When the going gets tough, God got tougher. He's there for us. We made it this year because for every problem, He was the problem solver. We made it this year because for every rushing water in our lives, He was a bridge over troubled waters. Now when you listen to that song, you'll listen to it in a whole different way. We made it because for every heartache that we had, He was the heart fixer, the heart mender. We made it because every time we fell, He picked us up. Every time we were knocked down, He told us to get back up, brother. Get back up, my child. Your time is not through yet. You got a lot more to go through yet. And I'll get you through it. Just like He's going to get each and every one of us if we're faithful through the time of trouble. Every time we failed, He covered us with His victory. And we made it because our help came from the Lord. So now this year may be over. And we can all breathe a collective sigh of relief. Amen? How many are happy this year is over? I don't know about you, but I know I am. But let me tell you that the next year is one in which we don't know what's ahead. We just don't know. It's like walking into a dark alley where you know trouble will be waiting for you. If you're wise, you don't go down into that dark alley alone. You need to know that if something happens to you, you've got help. You've got someone who's got your back. Every second, every moment, every time. Do you know where your help is coming from? Do you know where your help is coming from? Well, today, as we go into the great unknown called a new year, I challenge you with these final words. Some may trust in horses and chariots. Some may trust in stocks and bonds. Some may trust in clothes and fashion. But our help comes from the Lord. Some may believe in their friends and family. Some may believe in their favorite superstar. Some may look to preachers and pastors. But our help comes from the Lord. Some may look to their three-story houses, and others look to their fancy cars. Some look at the clothes they are wearing, but our help comes from the Lord. Our help comes from the Lord. Nothing else. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so grateful, Father, that you have brought us through miry clay, that you have brought us through rushing waters, that you have brought us through every trial and tribulation, heartache and pain that we may have faced this past year. We're grateful, Father, that you have lifted us up. You have raised us up on eagle's wings that we may praise you, Lord, and thank you, Father, for the benefits and the blessings that you bestow upon each and every one of us. Thank you, Father, for your life, your blood, your salvation. Help us to never, ever take it for granted, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus. As I often say, is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is everything. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. May we commit our lives to this Jesus who will bring us through whatever this year has in store for us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.